I want to talk to you today about a scripture that ambushed me. I use that phrase often, don't I? But it often happens to me as I'm reading through scripture, all of a sudden some verse, some section, and in this case, a simple phrase rises up and it grabs hold of me. And it seems as if God is really wanting to do business with you. I think this is one of the reasons it's so important for us to get to God's word and read it. You never know when the Lord is going to cause these words to become, as they say, red letter edition, something just for you. By the way, before I go and share this phrase, I want to ask you a question. How is your reading of the Word of God? Do you find yourself drawn there? Do you get to spend time there? I know there's a lot of Christians that would love to read God's Word more, but because of the busyness of their life, they maybe don't get there as much as they should. And I think there's some other Christians that they just find it hard to sit down and begin to go through Scripture. I want to tell you something. I think that there may just be an anointing that God can put on our lives that gives us a great desire and a passion to read the Bible. I know it's something He's touched my heart with. I love to read the Bible. I've told you before that we come to a new year, I start reading it through again. I love to do it. I sit there, and I think it's something God's given me. I know there were many years in which reading the Bible seemed more like a chore, something I had to do. I would do it, and then I'd do pencil in hand to try to take notes, and that's good too. But then all of a sudden after prayer and saying, I really want to meet the Lord in Scripture, I began to find that the Bible came alive for me. And not only that, that I had a greater heart or greater passion for the Word of God. It isn't me. I think it's the Holy Spirit in me. I think the Holy Spirit has touched me, even anointed me for this. And I think that anointing is something we can all have. You just kind of got to turn to the Lord and ask Him to pray. You know, sometimes when I'm off doing a seminar, I will ask people if they're struggling with reading Scripture, and then I'll have them stand and just pray over them and ask that whatever it is that God's done in my heart about finding joy and peace in reading Scripture, that it would land on them also. And I've had people tell me that afterwards they did find that a spark was ignited in their lives for the reading of Scripture. Would you be offended if right now I simply prayed for you? I'd like to do that. Maybe you're already devouring Scripture. Maybe it's the first place you run and the place you stay the longest. But maybe for some people, it's that thing I always want to get to, but I don't. I'd like to pray over you for a moment. Father in heaven, I ask in the strong name of Jesus Christ that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would hover over the folks that are listening. And if there's anyone there that's hungering and wanting and desire and desperate to have a new approach to Scripture that fills them, Lord, may that anointing rest on their life. May they find Scripture alive for them. May they meet You there, even when, Lord, they're not taking notes, but somehow in the reading of Scripture, they note Your presence there. May that be something that happens. Lord, we ask this humbly. We ask it by Your grace. Lord, we reach out to You and pray that You would touch us in this way. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't want to challenge you with that. And obviously, I still haven't talked about the Scripture I wanted to bring up today. But I want to challenge you that maybe you ought to later today or tonight or tomorrow, whenever it is, go to the Word again and just pray before you do. Oh, Lord, let that passion, that anointing for the Word fall upon me that I might come here with fresh eyes, fresh enthusiasm, and the ability to experience You here. So, having said that, so what's this scripture that grabbed hold of me that I want to talk about today? Well, it comes as five words in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it grabbed me. Listen to what it says. Follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. Now, there's so many things that could be said about this. Not the least is that it's saying here that there's already a path of love out in front of us, and we can get on that path and we can follow that way. And most certainly, it would be Jesus and our Father in heaven who has made that path and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk that path. But there is a way of love. It's interesting to me that the Scripture isn't saying, go love people, but it's saying, follow the way of love. You've heard me mention before, and I think Eugene Peterson may have been the first person to say something like this, that we are to walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. Well, now it's telling us that that way is the way of love, and that we should follow the way of love. Now, it's no mistake that Paul put that phrase, those five words, right after he wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 about the nature of love. And we always go there. We've done this before about what is love like. It's patient and kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't proud. Love is always protecting, always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, and other key characteristics that are shared there in 1 Corinthians 13. And so Paul's kind of laying out, if you will, what the signposts of this way are, and then he's saying, follow that way, walk in it. It's also interesting to me that this comes after 1 Corinthians 12, where we're talking about being empowered with spiritual gifts. He then goes to 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love, if you will, as being the river that carries those gifts forward. And then he starts with, follow the way of love, right here. I want more love. I need more love. I want to both experience deeper aspects of the Father's love, but I also want to be able to express that love to other people. I'm sure you're the same. I want to say something about a little poem, if you will, piece of poetry from Pedro Arrupe. He was the head of the Jesuits from, the late 60s into the 80s. He was the superior general was actually the term that they would use. And the Jesuits, as you know, is a society that was founded by St. Ignatius. And Pedro Arrupe, some of his writings and some of what he did there was quite powerful, but he wrote this, and it's about love, and I want to share it with you. He said these words, "Nothing is more practical than finding God, that is, falling in love in a quite absolute, final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, it will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do with your evenings, how you will spend your weekends, what you read, what you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything." You know, I may have even shared that writing of Arrupe once before, but I'm bringing it up again because of this passage about the idea of following the way of love. Scripture's so clear about this idea of love. In 1 John, it says that God's very nature is love. God is love. And that it was God's love that sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. That's the nature of this love that God wants to pour out in our hearts. This amazingly generous, all-redeeming, life-transforming love. The way of love that Jesus shows us is certainly not an easy way. When you think about it, Jesus, he loved the unlovable. He would reach out and bring into his embrace those that others rejected. For those that were not able to even get close, Jesus draws them near. That's a powerful way of love. Certainly love caused him to lay down his life. That's quite the challenge, isn't it, when we're told to follow the way of love? I've mentioned it to you before, but I think there's something powerful in Philippians chapter 2 when it talks about Jesus and him setting aside his glory. Can you imagine that? All that he'd experienced at the Father's hand, right hand. The wonder of paradise, the wonder of heaven, the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, in order to bring love to us, he steps out of that. He sets aside his glory. And then that passage we've talked about before that it says that Jesus did not use his power for personal gain. Wow. I mean, that's an amazing way of love. It's certainly not sentimentality, is it? There's something about it that really goes deep. Something about it that really, if you will, challenges our world and our understanding. And it would seem to me that the more we begin to experience and understand the love of God, the more that love begins to change us, change our attitudes, change what we find to be most important in our lives. I had a phone call today. He's from a new friend. I met him at a seminar last June. He'd spent a couple years in a very tough spot, and he was disillusioned by the church. He called me today to talk about this. He said, I want to share my testimony, my witness with you. He said, you know, for years and years and years, as a Christian, I would talk to people about the love of God. But even as I did, I felt as though to some degree I was being a hypocrite because I myself didn't know the love of God, didn't rest in the love of God. And he said, but all that changed. There was this moment this past June when suddenly God's love overwhelmed me. And I not only knew the scriptures that said I was loved and knew the message of God's love, but I was radically touched by God's love, and I've never been the same since. And he was saying to me that now he begins to talk to people about the love of God, and he feels as though it's actually pouring out of his heart as opposed to simply being words. Boy, that really touched me. This new friend is following the way of love. He's been immersed in love. He's been overwhelmed with love. I need more of that. I really do. I want to reach out to this Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and ask that he would extend his hand and touch me, that I might experience that all-consuming, incomparable, life-transforming power of love. And you know what? I think it's similar to being filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time event. That it's something that we can experience over and over and over again. Just need to slow down enough to ask the Lord to make that true. I need more love. I think some of you know there are times in which I battle with my thoughts and old fears begin to grab hold of me and they seem to grab me by the throat. And I think of that scripture that says, perfect love, it casts away fear. When we know how much God loves us, how present he is to us, how much he has our best interest in mind. There's something about the experience of that love that doesn't leave room for worry or for fear. You know, I mentioned earlier Pedro Arrupe, and in the latter years of his life, he had a stroke from which he never recovered. And in his very last address to the General Congregation of Jesuits, this would have been in 1983 when they were actually electing his successor, he wrote these words as he was struggling with his health. More than ever, I find myself in the hands of God. This is what I have wanted all my life from my youth, but now there is a difference. The initiative is entirely with God. It is indeed a profound spiritual experience to know and feel myself so totally in God's hands. May the love of God fill your heart tonight, today, tomorrow. May you open yourself up to a deeper experience of that love. And may that love cause you then, in some practical way, let's just say in the next 24 hours, to follow the way of love. Have an opportunity to express this love to someone that feels unloved, uncared for, undesirable, unwanted, someone that is living in a certain desolation. May we reach out and may we give the word of love. May we use what God has given us, not simply for our own comfort, but for the comfort of others. Oh Lord, help me. God bless you. Till we're together again.